Welcome to the Anime Podcast. About things related to anime and sometimes actual anime as well. In the room tonight, we have Requiem.
Hello.
Gugsy.
Yo.
Dill.
I'm now known as Naruto Johnson, thank you.
Naruto Johnson, my bad, I'm very sorry. And it's me, Hybrid Mink. This week, we're talking about anime again. I hope you guys are up for it. We don't have...
If you're not, well, that's too bad.
Yeah, I don't know why you're listening in the first place. I thought we would start with something not really anime this time. We used to have like a question of the week, but there's been a lot of anime games coming out, and I thought it might be good to start with Dill, if you're up for it. I know you've been playing an older RPG, not that old, a couple years ago. Tales of Berseria came out. I love this game, but you're discovering it for the first time, so like, how are you liking it?
It's actually my first Tales game, period.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah, one of our community members, Tenchi, he's been very, very adamant about me playing the series, and he said, hey, you should jump in on this one. And I did. I took a flyer on it because it was only like $20, and I've loved it. And I just kind of hit, I'm towards like the final act. I just got around there last night. And that's definitely where, as you know, most good storytelling goes, that's where everything really starts to come together. And
are you going to be playing really... other Tales games because of it?
I actually went and got the Tales of, is it Vesperia? I always mess up names of things.
Yeah, but... There's a bunch. There's Vesperia. I think there's Zestiria as well. There's probably like...
Usually an Ia at the end. Usually.
Right. And then it's like one of the other letters. No. I say that because it's like there seems to be a naming scheme going there. They actually got the Definite Edition that came out on the Switch. And I just thought, hey, I always can use some new Switch games. Mm-hmm. I'm excited though. You know, I know the big anime game that everyone's been playing is Fire Emblem, but I have that plastic wrapped. I'm not ready to play it yet. I want to beat Berseria first, but not like rush through it. Obviously I want to enjoy
it. Take your time. There's, I remember there being like a lot of quests, but I don't remember it being super in depth. Like the bonus stuff you can get, like costumes and everything, is just great. But the combat and the characters really pulled me through the end, and I think it's my favorite Tales game. Like I used to swear by Tales of Symphonia, and then I went back and I played like they released it again in HD, and I'm like, this is still good, but man, combat has come leaps and bounds since this one.
Oh, that's so and it's so fluid too, because you can switch between the characters. Mm-hmm. And I actually was worried at first because there's only, you know, 6 characters you can play as, and I was like, is that enough? Or you know, maybe it'll be a little too slow and I'll get bored of the different kind of systems. But like compared to a lot of RPGs, it doesn't have like this character strictly does magic or this character strictly does melee. They all kind of have a nice little like mashup of all kinds of different kind of moves. Mm-hmm. And it just makes it really keeps you on your toes. It's really fluid combat. I like it.
So is it like a turn-based sort of RPG, or is it real time, or how does this thing play? Because I've never played any of these games.
I'm playing on, because there's like 3 modes that you can play like with combat. There's fully automatic, semi-auto, and then like just completely you put in your own combos. I'm on semi-auto, so it's like it's a little bit just mash buttons to win, but not too bad. But it's not turn-based by any means.
Oh, okay, like you're, okay.
You have access to a menu at all times where you can assign items and give them to other people, but you spend most of the time playing as one character. Like there's a bounding circle around the area, and you can control where your guys are going. So it's like a hybrid of action and turn-based without, you know, the stopping part of the turn-based stuff.
I see. Okay.
I also really like that you can, like, not always, but the AI is pretty receptive. If you can change your strategy on the fly.
Mm.
And you can determine like what you'd like them to do, like maybe like, hey, focus on frontline enemies, focus on low HP enemies, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
They generally listen, but you know, AI is not perfect.
It's not really my kind of game, but you know, maybe I'll try it.
And you know what? I was hesitant. I didn't know if I wanted to play it just because like somebody told me, you know, 60-hour game. And Gugsy, you know, like when I've tried to get into The Witcher 2 times now, and it's just, I don't think it's happening anytime soon. But I absolutely love the characters of Berseria, and it keeps me coming back.
Yeah, usually Tales games have, like, you have the one protagonist who's pretty good or an asshole, and then you have like a kid who sucks, and then you have this random person who's totally just kind of screw you 40 three quarters of the way into the story, and like all those tropes are here, but they're actually likable this time. So like the whole cast is good.
Sounds like an anime. Surprised.
And the last thing I'll say about it, I'm sorry. Okay, I can stop. Go ahead.
No, you should stop. I don't want to hear about it anymore. You get one more, it's fine.
Okay, I want to pay it forward again because Tenchi got me into it. I was talking to him yesterday about it. You were mentioning about like how the cast is likable in this. I think it definitely has to do with the fact that most of them are like written as if they were like emerging adults, like, you know, like in that 19 to 23, 24 time frame where like people really form into who they are in society. And, you know, this is a very unique fantasy kind of society, but you still have those beats of people becoming the adults that they want to be. And that's awesome.
This almost seems like a trend just in, I don't want to say anime, but like Japanese media written for teenagers or young adults. We're seeing more and more of the like 20 something protagonist, whereas we're still getting tons of like the 15 year olds just getting out of middle school. But I think we're seeing a trend that we're seeing just more adults, which is nice as people like us who are, you know, 20 and up.
Yeah, it's cool too, because I remember when we had a discussion about Snafu a few months ago, people said that they can't go back and revisit Snafu all the same because some of them might have watched it when they were in high school or they were like late teens, and it once you become an adult, it's harder to connect or see similarities with a high schooler.
Once you hit your mid-20s, it's all the same. Like, I watched that. I don't even know. I feel like I could have watched it last week, but it was probably, like, 6 years ago.
Yeah, I totally agree, because that was the same thing. Literally the same
thing. All right, so I said you get one thing. We're done talking about that old game. But now, everyone is playing the new hotness, Fire Emblem Three Houses. I'm sure we're right on time for this discussion. Who here is playing that? Say all at once now.
Woo!
Soon.
Good. All right. So... So what's the? How can you spoil this as much as possible? In
yeah, for me, please don't
reveal the entire plot.
I'll leave.
Fire Emblem is one of my favorite game franchises, and this one is just it's a very good example. It's extremely good. There's a few things that I have quibbles with, but I'm not gonna talk about that because Dill's not playing. But just know that it's a very good game. And It's to me, I like it better than Awakening and Fates, which were the two most recent ones.
I think it might be the best written story, but now that I'm like 15 chapters in, I'm like, well, a lot of the gameplay stuff they added, I'm not a huge fan of. The way they handle the maps just don't seem as good as Awakening. Having the ability to recruit everybody in Awakening, I just really appreciated. Whereas this time around, you got to make those sacrifices, which I appreciate the whole story element of, but gameplay wise, I'm like, man, I just want that giant roster.
No, but to me, Awakening is not. It's not a Fire Emblem game because you.
Oh man, it's like definitive Fire Emblem.
I understand, but it's all about just min maxing and just like making your characters as like ridiculous as possible, and just to me that's not what a Fire Emblem game is. To me, a Fire Emblem game is all about strategy, and there's no strategy in Awakening. It's just kill, murder, death, repeat, and.
I guess if you're really just grinding it out and playing, I mean, you don't have to play on normal, but
I have a non-spoiler question to ask, just because
Hybrid hasn't finished the game. I think I have.
Right, and
yeah, I'm near the end. I think
I'm curious because the last Fire Emblem I played was the other 3DS one they came out with, which was the remake of one of the older ones. Yeah, Echoes, like the remake of one of the older ones, and it definitely hurt that it was a little bit more like the traditional Fire Emblems in the sense that it's not like Awakening and Fates where you can kind of grind to win. How is that, like, what do they do about that in this one? Is there like different difficulty levels that let you do different things, or?
Yeah, there's different, like, as far as grinding? There's different difficulty levels. I would say it's probably kind of a hybrid between the two, between Awakening, Fates, and Echoes. In that sort of regard,
because I imagine that like Echoes is probably as far into the brutal, like, we're probably, I guess what I'm trying to say is I imagine, like, to make sure it's popular to everybody, they're probably not going to do a traditional old school Fire Emblem again, because you and I've talked about this. I remember playing the old Game Boy Advance ones and just being completely just crushed by how hard it was.
Oh, see, those Game Boy ones. Those are like my platonic ideal of what a Fire Emblem game should be. And to me, none of these games have ever hit those heights to me. So that's what I love.
Yeah, I think a lot of people agree. If you play Three Houses on normal, it's just not satisfying. Literally, okay. Everyone that I know that has played on normal has been like, yo, way too easy. And I'm playing on hard, and I actually think it's kind of perfect because I'm one of those people who doesn't say, oh, this person would be the ideal choice for this attack. I'm going to send them. No, I want this person to get this much experience. I want them to use this much of their weapon. I'm going to send them to that guy. They might die, but they'll have a tiny bit of sliver of health. Then I can heal them. Like, all these like things going on in my head. Like, I think it works so well in the more modern Fire Emblem games. But if you just want that story, just put on normal and you barely have to try it.
No, but I do have to say that like the very beginning and even up to probably where I think Hybrid, I don't know if you mentioned where you are, but up to that point, like it's very easy to like middling easy. But I do have to say that towards the end, it does get more difficult, but like markedly more difficult, I guess.
So, yeah, I don't know. Everyone keeps saying that, and I'm like, I think the game has been pretty much on par the entire time, the same difficulty. And now that I'm at a point where I can do three extra battles, like my professor rank is higher enough that I could just grind on three battles and do all the paralogues, I'm like doing way better.
Yeah, because you're also probably way over leveled, and so
I'm not.
You can grind on like the harder difficulties.
You can, but
well, if you have enough. What's it called? Whatever they give you enough, like three choices to do. Here's some maps.
It's sort of like, I guess you played Persona, right, Dil? Yeah. No, it's sort of like that where you have a limited amount of time to do things.
I see. That's stressful.
Well, that's also part of the charm is you have to figure out what to do.
I get you.
All right. Well, we should probably get to talk about the anime soon, but let's just ask you, what house did you go with?
Oh, me? I was Black Eagles first. I'm playing through it again, and I'm now playing as Golden Deer.
I was going to ask you a question, but even that might be a spoiler. Yeah. So, do you feel like your playthrough of Golden Deer is more interesting, or let's say...
I'm honestly not far enough yet to really see any differences, but...
Yeah, I think there's a key... I mean, we all know about the key turning point. I'm sure that's where it really diverges.
Yeah, and so... I need to wait and see how that plays out.
I'm proud of myself. I've been on an embargo to not look at anything like at all. So I'm just trying to make it like my option for whatever house I pick, just based off of my experience.
Yeah, and see, look, we talked about the game. We didn't spoil anything. So
no, I'm not accusing you. I'm just saying, like, I'm excited whenever it does come around.
Dil, do you want to know who the Flame Emperor is?
Yeah, let's not.
All right, let's move on. So we have a news section, I guess. We couldn't find a whole lot of interesting stuff here, but I guess, Requiem, I thought you found something that might be worth talking about.
Is he awake?
Hello,
Requiem?
I'm awake. I don't play Fire Emblem, so I had nothing to add to that conversation.
Old man Requiem.
I got Persona 5 and Shrink Wrap. I swear to God, I'll play it someday.
You don't have to. It's good.
What?
Anyways, let's get on with what'd you find about, Kentaro
Miura?
Miura.
Well, we've all been waiting for him to like maybe produce the occasional like chapter of Berserk, but he, you know, in between his, you know, years long hiatuses, apparently in all of his time not making more Berserk, he found time to produce a new manga, annoying fans of Berserk all over the world.
Yep, and it's just
kind of jerk.
I feel Berserk. This is going to be kind of an interesting parallel, but Berserk to me has the same sort of problem that Game of Thrones does. In that right now, the story, the story or both is just way too big and way too ambitious. And I just feel like both George R. R. Martin and Miura have really no idea how to, you know, wrap this all up nicely anymore.
Yeah. And both stories, like, people are afraid the creator is going to die before he finishes.
Yeah. And I think they probably will, because there's just so many threads and so much that they have already built up that they can't land this ship.
Actually, this is a great comparison because it's also the creators going off and doing side projects, and everyone else is like, "Can you finish the thing?"
And they just can't. There's just no way. You saw with the TV show of Game of Thrones how that ended and how everyone got pissed off about that. And I guarantee you, the same thing would happen if somehow Berserk was like supposed to wrap up.
I'm curious. I'm curious because I've never seen Berserk, but from what you're saying, just listening to it as a, you know, outside third party, do you think there might be some fatigue there? Because like, if maybe like, you know, how huge of a burden on his back that might be.
I think that's entirely it. Like on both.
Yeah, he's just like, I want to go do something else. Like, is it Anno who does the Evangelion?
Yeah,
I want to go make Godzilla, so I'm going to go make Godzilla. That's, you know, like that was kind of where he was at.
It's exactly the same thing. Like Anno, obviously, he has like this grand idea for Evangelion, but we're never going to. I'm not going to say. Well, I am going to say never because I really don't think we're going to ever get 4.44 because there is no way that he can wrap up Evangelion in a nice little bow that will please everyone. There's no way.
Is it coming out next year?
They just started showing footage, so I
would... Yeah, is it coming out next year?
if it is, sure, but I'll be interested to see the reaction because I guarantee you it's going to be... Everyone's going to hate it.
Are you denying its existence?
If that's the hill I'm going to die on, then yes. I'm officially denying the existence of any 4.44 at any point in time.
Excellent.
You just walk in the movie's him just throwing up his middle fingers. Nope.
This is a blank screen.
Yeah, in terms of, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, for the record, the new manga being produced by him or his studio is called, like, Doranki, and it's about a gap between heaven and earth and a child grant the name of a dragon. Honestly, I'm sure it's fine. I just, like, Berserk, what the fuck?
So he didn't make some weird pivot into, like, comedy? Like something
completely different? No, he decided not to make a harem comedy this time. Although I look forward to Amira's harem comedy.
Oh my god, could you even imagine? How much
is violent I'm in?
Oh, craziness.
So I mean, what genre is this? It's just like a fantasy. It's not hyper.
It's seinen.
Oh, so like for old 20-year-old men or something?
Yeah, it's slightly shonen. Older. Shonen for slightly shonen. Older people.
I was gonna ask what that meant.
So shonen.
Yeah, it's an older demographic. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, creatives, when you work on something for so long, you want to move on. So it's not at all shocking to hear this.
My tiny baby brain didn't know what that meant because it's not meant to me.
Well, you don't run into seinen as nearly as much, but it's basically more mature stuff aimed at a college-age audience.
Mm-hmm. And
like My Hero Academia.
Yep.
According to Hybrid, I'm tiny little baby college-age.
I don't think I ever said those exact words in that exact order. Around those times. All right, so we have a much more important headline. Gugsy, I guess we're getting a second season of this show that everyone is watching.
Well, it was announced, I guess, this week that the harem comedy show from, I guess, was it really earlier this year? I guess it was. We Never Learn.
Yeah, it was only a couple seasons ago.
Yeah, okay, so We Never Learn is getting a second season. Apparently it's coming out next season. I dropped this. I've dropped this probably within the first episode, so I can't really tell you much more than that. But I know Rec watched it.
I think it's more. It's almost more of a second core than a second season because they didn't reveal. They didn't wrap up anything at the end of the.
First. Well, the nature.
But then again, it's a harem comedy, so it doesn't ever wrap up anyway.
It's never going to wrap up. So, if you enjoyed it,
are you
going to
watch second season?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Hate myself.
Good enough.
Is the Berserk guy directing this?
God, I wish.
Like the maybe more. It just takes a very dark twist.
That would be a much more interesting show.
You never learn, do you?
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's all I got on that.
Yes, we didn't really have much for news. let's see. Nad, do you have any news you want to talk about?
News?
Yeah, what's news?
I don't.
Nothing?
What's the news?
News?
I was hoping for a very, like, a little quip when we move on, but no, I'm not waiting.
That's my shtick now. Yeah, go ahead. I don't follow anime news.
All right. So the stuff that we were all been waiting for, or actually watching, I go into some older shows. I might talk a little about the current stuff. Who haven't we... Gugsy, we've talked about Vinland Saga a bit, but I feel like since it's so good, since we're all watching it, maybe there's something you might want to talk about. Anything Well, the recent episodes.
Yeah, I just think it's been outstanding from the very beginning, and you know, I've caught up today, and it's just continues to be really, really good storytelling and just outstanding in presentation. And I was waiting for when they were going to do, I guess, the time skip for when he was a boy and now he's like now I guess a petulant teen, and we're there and awesome. All right.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we time skip through via montage.
Yeah. How much death through via montage?
I was worried that Thorfinn was not going to be as good as his father, because his father was so cool and likable, and his kid was like, God, I hate this kid. But immediately he was like, oh, yeah, he's got to deal with all the stuff, and you immediately feel for him, and you want to see what happens. You hope he doesn't get, like, super corrupted by the Vikings and everything. But, yeah.
I don't know. It sure seems like it's going that way.
I was flabbergasted. Like, you know, this is just in the fourth episode. Like, just... him's just screaming, like, really loud. And, like, I when somebody told me there was screaming, I thought I got, like, Black Clover vibes. And I was like, oh, no, it's going to be awful. But, like, that was, like, super emotional. And I was just, like, I could not, like, sometimes I kind of, like, look away for a little bit, like, when I'm, like, watching anime. But, like, I couldn't, like, I just kept staring at it. I was like, wow.
Yeah, and it was just a really key moment.
Yeah, but that
he certainly made a smooth transition from annoying child to murder machine.
And he wasn't even that bad. Like, when he was a kid, he was just a kid.
You have to remember, like, yeah, he was like, what, 5 in the beginning? And like,
yeah, whatever.
I actually, like, this is an example of just like good, I guess, kind of story or character development, because like, yeah, I can absolutely totally believe now that this teenager is now like a murder machine, because apparently he's been forced to kill people since he was 5 years old. And I'm like, okay, well then, yeah, he's doing it at this point.
Yeah, the moment when he just kind of sighs and just accepts it was probably even more powerful than when he was screaming or anything else happened.
That whole episode was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't mean to single out just that one moment, but you get what I mean.
It's the origin story of his outfit, so it was...
But now that whole episode where he, like, you know, meets the mother and then the daughter and then the back half of the episode was some damn good writing.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just, really good character development. So what you want?
Yeah, I wish I hadn't gone into the spoiler section of Vanite and just seen someone type, well, said something that made me think, oh, I know what's going to happen. So got to be careful about that. Be careful about not spoiling. Or we all cut up.
I just got cut up, yeah.
I am.
I'm like one up. Whatever the latest episode was, I didn't see it.
Yeah, so if you're out there and you're not watching it because it's not on Crunchyroll, just there are ways. You can go to, was it Amazon Prime?
Yeah, it's on Amazon Prime. Yeah. Don't tell me you don't have Amazon Prime.
Everyone
listener, you have Amazon Prime. Yeah. Go on the video.
Hybrid, did you find this one airing on television when you went over to Japan every week?
Or? Oh, man, I usually watch it on the ride back. I just get my VHS tape, pop it in the seat, and I'm good to go.
Amazon Prime on VHS?
Oh, yeah. What? No. Yeah, that's how they localize it.
Japan has amazing technology.
Japan still has 8-track tapes. You know, they got everything over there.
They got laser discs.
Thanks, Jeff Bezos.
So speaking of things that are not on Crunchyroll, I have been watching Cannon Busters. Now, unlike a lot of people that watch Netflix shows, I actually just watch like one at a time here or there when I have the chance. Like I just find time within the other stuff. So I'm only watching here and there. So I'm like on episode 5 or 6. Any other guys watching this?
Yeah, I've been seeing people sort of talk about it, but I don't really know anything about it.
Yeah.
Can you like... Why don't you tell us what it's about?
I've watched the preview on Netflix like 11 times. I'm like, this looks really interesting.
11 times? Damn, you should watch the show. It's also on Netflix.
By preview, do you mean the real?
Mm-hmm. Like when yeah, you the real. Like, the
and then
trailer.
It plays like unfitting generic music with it. Like that.
Now, this one, I think it had its own music. But I find it interesting that it was kickstarted, apparently.
Oh, wow.
A what?
This is a satellite.
Yeah, apparently this was a project. It's actually a Western guy who created it, and it was kickstarted.
I did not know that.
Just not. I didn't know that, but that's not surprising because you really feel a lot of Western influence. Like when I'm watching it, I just assumed that some Netflix execs were like, take that Trigon and that Outlaw Star and make it modern and put all these American things that people like and make it edgy, because that's what it feels like. Like it's decent, but at times I'm just like, wow, that seems pretty by committee. But I mean, if it's just one guy's vision,
what's it about?
Yeah, the guy's name is LaShawn Thomas, and it's actually a comic book that he did. And then he's got this, you know, obviously it's an American guy who was heavily influenced by things like Trigun. And
does that mean that it's anime? Should we even be talking about this?
Yeah, here we go. Oh boy, here we go.
No, it's not like that Castlevania, where it was 100% not anime. No, this is actually, I think it's Satellite, right? That's a Japanese studio.
Yeah, Satellite made it, so it's a Japanese studio. So it's
but it's a Western guy. So I don't know. I don't know if we can talk about this.
Board the window.
Several
sorry.
Animes that were French comics. We just had Radiant. That was a French comic. That show was great.
Not Japanese.
That was anime. I have a little anime for you named Blood of Wars. Since that was made by a Chinese company, how can we not consider that anime? I don't want to talk about it.
Blood of Wars was not an anime. It was a war crime.
It was a beautiful, beautiful war crime.
So we still
haven't
talked about
Cannon
Busters yet. A war crime. Oh, yeah. Talk about Cannon Busters since you're the only one who watches it.
Yes, right. So, I mean, I've just said it's a lot like Trigun and Outlaw Star and Feel. Like, it's not flying through space. You are on what I assume is Earth. Now that I think about it, I don't know if they ever mentioned it. But you have this cast of characters. And if you get, we're all watching Demon Slayer, the guy with the boar mask, he's the main character voice. So he's like super gruff all the time. And the idea. Philly the Kid is his name.
Philly the
and
Kid?
And he,
Philly the Kid.
You might recognize him. He sounds a little familiar. But anyways.
Are you talking Japanese or?
I mean, I don't watch anime in English, so yes. But okay. Philly the Kid is immortal, and every time he dies, like a number comes up on his skin. So I guess that's the shtick. And then he's traveling with these two robot ladies who find him. But, I guess the whole goal is that they're going on a mission in this modern looking car that turns into a robotic bull, and then they meet all these jerks and they kill them as if it's a Borderlands game. And I really don't even know how to describe it. It's just so weird.
Is it episodic?
It's kind of episodic. Like, they'll get to an area and then maybe they'll need one more episode to kind of close that little story off. But you can kind of watch it per episode. Again, I'm only like six episodes in, so.
Is there hints of like a bigger story, sort of like Bebop, or is it just?
Well, the main premise is so you have this. He's like a king or a prince, and he had this robot friend who's like his servant, and she finds Philly the Kid, and she needs to go back to the prince, but the prince is also on the run, so they're just trying to meet up. And all along, you also have this other guy who is taken over that kid's kingdom. Again, it's kind of hard to follow, but it's interesting to
watch. So it's kind of like Samurai Champloo, where there's an overall goal, but it's episodic in the search of it.
I guess the fact that they're on a journey in this car and they're always like going to different locations, and I think they've met the last main cast member where I am at, this drunken samurai guy. But yeah, it's kind of like that, but it feels like it's mostly an overarching story. Like, it's only 12 episodes. But you could kind of watch it piecemeal.
I have to say, when you said that he's immortal and there's a number that comes up every time he dies, I'm contractually obligated to bring up Big Order on every single podcast I do. Wreck, do you like that?
Okay.
The first episode, one of the first few episodes, that one episode where the girl just keeps dying in more hilarious ways. That's what immediately came to mind.
I imagine it's the same thing. Like, he dies, but it's funny because he's gonna survive.
That was your Big Order moment of the podcast.
Somebody would pull on my hair ribbon.
I mean, I could describe.
Also, watch Big Order.
No, but I can describe a scene where he dies. But I feel like that'd spoil it because it's like you don't always see it coming. You sometimes do, but you don't always see it coming. But yeah, as you might guess, he dies multiple times because you got to use that, right? If you have it, you got to use it. Overall, I'd say it's worth checking out, especially if you have Netflix. But if you don't like the first episode is probably the strongest one. So I would say give it two episodes. If you don't like it, the second episode, then maybe you can probably drop it. It's just, it's good. You know, middle of the road, I guess. A lot of CG, but not all CG. Just a nice chunk of it for the mechs and stuff. Requiem, you said you want to talk about Danmachi Season 2. What do you want to say?
Also, to say that I loved Danmachi season one and Sword Oratoria, and season two is better. Mm-hmm. Like, they're doing a better, like, it's more tightly plotted than season one, so it's really good. And we got some really good action sequences already this season. So, like, I think it should be watched.
The only thing I know about Danmachi is that the wonderful, the hilarious blue string of whatever.
Yeah, you know what? If you can't watch a show because one character's got a boob string, then, I mean, whatever. Go about your life. You do you. I think the show is great.
I've never watched, but not because of that.
I didn't watch it because I thought it was just harem garbage, and I feel like we talked about this last time when we were talking about
the, it's the so much better than that.
Yeah, I know, but like, what makes it so good? Like, is there a defining thing other than the animation, the story?
Well, it does a really good job. The animation is usually pretty good. You get a lot of good action sequences. I love the world. The world building and the concept behind the world is great. Now, I am a lifelong obsessive about mythology and folklore, so this stuff is kind of in my wheelhouse, more specifically than it would be for someone who doesn't care about that as much. Mm-hmm. But still, like, the world they built is super interesting. And it's not an isekai, so that's plus five right there.
So they're not in a dungeon the whole time, right?
No, the dungeon is just where they go to work, essentially.
Okay.
That's cool. Only thing
in fact,
I know about...
one of the things that's great about season two is that they've spent significantly less time in the dungeon Ooh. And more time examining the world, you know, and the other players in it. That's what makes it
That
much
does
better.
Sound a little bit better. Mm-hmm.
It's always interesting to learn about this show because the only thing I knew about it was that it had the mobile game. So
I think
never
Chris
played the
did it.
No, it's not a season manga. One came first. It is a manga, yeah.
Okay.
I was just saying I only knew about the mobile game, like besides obviously knowing there was an anime.
Yeah, I guess it was a mobile game for everything. Now. I'm trying to dig and get more out of this to really get me interested. What studio do you know offhand?
It's one of the like okay. I would guess like A1 or something like that.
I think it is A1.
Is it? Oh, wow.
While they're pulling it up, I just want to say it's interesting. You say you want to dig more out of it. People always recommend the dub for that to me, and
I hate the dub. I hate.
See,
it.
It's interesting. It's interesting you say that because people have recommended it to me, saying that they think that I'd really like it.
Well, I mean, maybe you do. I don't like dubs anyway, but I found that one particularly terrible.
Well, you are the dub man, so you have to make the decision for us.
Dub man.
Thanks for...
Oh, I'm sorry, it's JC Staff.
Okay.
Oh, God. You almost had me watching it, and now... Oop.
They do fine. Like, yeah. I've never noticed any serious animation problems.
Yeah, because they don't animate anything.
That's not true.
My friend was telling me, he's like, yeah, man, Food Wars, there's a new season coming up. I love the animation. I'm like, excuse me? I was like,
nah, they do a way better job on this than on Food Wars.
All right, good to know. By the way, I like Food Wars, but that thing is moving pictures, mostly. Dill, since you like to laugh, tell me what made you laugh the most in anime this season.
What?
I don't know. I was trying to make a transition. I'm trying to make
this
natural
podcast.
Transitions.
This podcast has been the joy of my life last
You're welcome.
Month.
Megalobox. Okay, if you could only talk about, say, I don't know, Bunny Girl or Megalobox, what would it be?
Oh, Bunny Girl, absolutely.
Why?
So, how do I put this? I usually try to get myself a year after I watch a show before I, like, because I don't want to get, like, recency bias talking about how much I like a show or not. And that's just, you know, to be safe. But, you know, it's been, I don't know, like 7-8 months now. And I'm still in love with the show. You know, I'm in my second time through. I've been watching it with Umi, and we're like episode 7 or 8. We're on like the third or fourth character arc, and it's just the best way I could describe it to people is it's like if like Snafu and Monogatari had a baby.
Yeah.
That's how Proton described it to me.
Yeah.
And then I watched it, and I'm like, you are not correct, but I understand the premise you're going for.
He's kind of halfway right. between those two shows.
Well, and then I was going to say, it's like, it's also like a compromise if people can't stand like the, how always at 100% Monogatari is. Mm-hmm. Because I know a lot of my friends are like, you know, I really like the storytelling of Monogatari. Like, it's got really good plot, but I can't forego this, the dark spots that it has. And you know that if some people that's what they love most about that series, but you know it's a give and a take if you're in it for like the story.
It's kind of like Monogatari in the sense that it's like one-offs with these characters that have these weird situations that they're in. I just feel like the way Shaft does anything is just so visually stunning and just out there. Like something doesn't always have to be a metaphor for something. It's just, oh, it'd be really cool if this character turned their head in a really weird way slowly for this scene. They just kind of throw in anything they want to animate at the any given moment. But otherwise, yeah.
I would say the comparison to Monogatari is like it does have like the harem arcs, but it's not a harem really, because in both shows they don't really waver from.
I wouldn't say either show is a harem, but yeah.
No, but it's sort of designed to sort of be like that, so that there are different specific arcs for each individual girl, but they're not harems because they never waver from the one girl that they do like. So that's why I would make that comparison.
What I'm trying to get at, though, more so, is that I think the writing is a little bit more mature. Like, when that main couple in particular are, like, teasing with each other, and, like, the main guy, he makes some, like, suggestive jokes, but they're not creepy. You know what I mean? Like, it's realistic that, like, somebody's going to make a joke that, you know, it's a little suggestive, but he doesn't overstep his line, which, especially in 2019, that's saying something.
The banter
is noticeably,
like, really well done.
And it's that
main couple feels real. And that's what makes the entire show.
I was going to say that the writing is very, it's just very organic. Like, I know it's a buzzword that people use and people get sick of it, but like I do find it really organic the way that the characters interact.
Yeah, I totally agree.
But you know, and maybe I'm glad to hear too that everybody really likes it, because I was a little late on the wagon there with it. But big part for me too is I think I'm a little biased too, because I'm of like a like psychology background, and it's kind of cool that there's like psychological theories explaining the somewhat supernatural things happening in the show. Mm-hmm. And you know, like, I'm not going to spoil anything, that's why I'm saying it, but like, you know, the twists can be explained with science, and I appreciate that
science with quotation marks. It's a great show though, it really is. It was my favorite show of that season. It was most surprising too, because the synopsis that you saw coming up ahead of it looked like crap, and then it turned out to be brilliant.
And two more quick things I want to say about it. One, like, you know, I actually find the soundtrack to be really good. I've written quite a few like projects listening to that soundtrack. It's really good. And then the second little thing I wanted to say was, it's just such a shame that the name is so god awful. Mm-hmm. Like, because there's two people that I've tried to recommend it to, knowing that they would love it, and they were both turned away. I mean, they were both turned off from it because of the name.
Kind of like Denmachi.
Yeah, I mean, you
can't. Denmachi rose above a bad title.
Like, you try to shorten it, like, oh, you know, it's Bunny Girl. Well, why? What do you mean, Bunny Girl? And it's like, it's so sad because it's like 5 minutes of the first episode, and they're like, yeah, that's our title. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know.
It probably called it viewers than it pushed away, though.
You can't call it Rascal. You know what I mean? It's just so tough.
Yeah, it's.
Well, the word that they translated to Rascal doesn't translate directly to English, so Rascal was the best they could do.
What's the word that they translated in Japanese?
I can't pronounce it, but I was told by Proton that it doesn't translate directly.
Say it!
I would have to look it up. I would have to look it up at this point. I don't remember it.
Was it Baka?
No, if it wasn't Baka.
Oh, okay. That's my only guess.
Guns are mutual. I say this as if Rex's not a mutual friend with him, but, you know, like Mal. I tried to get Mal into it because I knew Mal would love it. I'm not watching that because it's Bunny Girl. I'm like,
Mal doesn't watch anime anymore.
I get it, but he would have loved it.
Yeah, there's no chance. He would have dropped it immediately.
Are you kidding me? He would have absolutely loved it if he just got past the title.
And like the first.
No, as soon as he heard the title, he's like, nope, fetish anime.
Yeah, that's exactly what he said. That's like, that's word for word.
And it's not.
Yep, that's Mal.
Sorry, Hybrid.
Oh, don't worry about it. I was trying to think if we could think about one more show to talk about, and I can't decide between Astra or Oh Maidens. I was quickly going to bring up City Hunter, an older show that I've been watching, but I don't think it's something that really needs to be discussed. All I'll say is that it's cool, but boy, is that show not age well.
I have a request.
What's up?
Well, you can't ask for too much. I mean, the show I try to view older projects through the lens of the time they were made, and not trying to judge them too harshly.
I absolutely do. I agree. I'm just saying, I'm recognizing, like, whoa, yes, there's a lot of sexual harassment in this show, and I'm wondering if that was cool even in the late 80s for them to do that, because I'm pretty sure you wouldn't have seen that in the West. So I was just like, I don't know. It's like he's supposed to, like James Bond, where he'll just like come on to someone way too strong and they'll be like, oh wow, I guess I should.
Just remember just... the same era produced Golgo 13. Mm-hmm. So
the coolest man ever created.
So I have a request when you're saying between the two shows you wanted to bring up. Can you guys sell me a little bit better on O Maidens? Because I feel like there was not a good job done
really
last podcast.
Really well-written comedy that deals with issues that you don't normally dealt with in an anime, especially one with characters that look like kind of the moe cute factor. And it just, it's a little, I don't want to say edgy, but it seems
darker?
More mature. Like, darker, I guess?
It's
not like in a, like, not an edgy sense, like you're saying, but more just like
it's a more mature take heavier, it sounds on like. The subject.
Yeah,
like you're not getting panty shots, you're not getting stupid ecchi stuff. Like when I say that it's about women discovering sexuality through literature and stuff, it's basically, okay, how do I want to go about this relationship? I've never been in one before. That's something you see in anime all the time, but it's handled in a way that's more endearing, more relatable, I guess. And then just some of the gags are hilarious. Just some of the innuendo and the interactions between characters are some of the best, probably the best comedy this season. I don't think there's anything funnier this season.
I was scared last time that you guys were talking about it because my prude little heart had flashbacks to when Gugsy recommended Scum's Wish to me.
Oh god.
No, I was scarred in a hotel room as I was watching
O-Maidens
that.
Is like it's high school girls who are, you know, it's the time in their lives when they have to, you know, deal with like sex and what that means and
sure.
How it affects relationships and stuff. But it's not at all, it doesn't go like Scum's Wish does.
It sounds pretty cool too, like maybe I'm overstepping here, but from what you guys and, you know, people in Anite have talked about, it kind of seems like we were talking about like how conversations were organic and like Bunny Girl. You could think about maybe too, like, you know, a lot of people of that age learning about sexuality and stuff, they're not learning it from their parents anymore. It's like learning from
right, peers. And that's exactly what this is, so, basically.
That's cool.
And the writer is Mari Okada, who has a really, you know, she has a reputation in the anime community, and it's perfectly Mari Okada. It's just it's just perfectly over the top in perfect situations, and it's just like it's very messy and it's great.
Hmm. What has she written?
Mayo Iga.
Did she do Anohana?
I want to say probably. I feel like it. Her career is actually extremely long.
Yeah, she's had her hands in a lot of really, you know, famous anime. And because of that, she has a reputation that precedes her on all the projects that she does. And if you can, some people really don't like it, but I know she is perfect for this exact type of show.
Yeah, she did Anohana.
Okay.
Wow. That wasn't really my show, but that's I can respect the writing in that, so that's cool.
She also did last season's Dragon Pilot, which was fantastic.
Oh, I love that.
I really like Dragon Pilot, yeah.
But then she also has gotten stuff like Mayoiga, which I feel like everyone but a select few of us hate.
I love that show. That show was a masterpiece.
It was a show.
It was bad on purpose. The entire show was a joke.
It was hilarious. It was entirely designed to be bad on purpose, and yet some people just think it's really bad. And it was
Hybrid really got me on the take that nothing is ever self-aware.
There's no way the conscious decisions that they made on that show like were not like.
Hybrid, I'm not misspeaking. You said that on a podcast we were on together.
I watched the show. What are we talking about?
No, I'm saying like when we were talking about, I feel like you're the one who brought up the point that like people say that things are self-aware too much.
I'm just saying in this specific case for Mayoiga, it's absolutely designed to be bad on purpose.
By the way, Dill, Mari Okada also did Iron-Blooded Orphans, if you need a recommendation. Yeah.
I mean, yes. I'm all in. Okay, let's do it.
But O Maidens is mostly Mechs and Gundam.
Yeah, I'm in. Yep. Why didn't you tell me sooner? It's like my little indie anime Code Geass. Please stop emailing me. I get it.
Yeah, the cockpit is just right in the cock. Anyways, let's move on. So we got...
It's not Darling in the Franxx.
By the way, after Scum's Wish, you should go watch Happy Sugar Life.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Don't watch that.
I saw what happened to that.
Everybody should watch it.
I read the Wikipedia summary of that. I was scarred. You stop it.
That show was great.
Speaking of shows that scar us and make us want to drop them because they're terrible, let's talk about shows that we maybe dropped this season. You guys drop anything that you started watching? Anything that just kind of fell off, lost interest? Actually, let's just start with someone. Let's start with Requiem. How about you?
Yeah, it's fairly well known that I'm what we call an anime masochist. I don't drop shows traditionally, but there are shows that I just kind of stop watching. I don't go, oh, I'm dropping this. I just go, I'll get back to this, and then I never do.
Because it's boring season, and not interesting.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like I can handle a bad show. I cannot handle a boring show. That's the difference. And the show this season that I've fallen back on and may never catch back up to is Abandoned.
Yeah, I dropped the show too after, I think, two episodes.
Nice.
Yeah, I got like five episodes in, and it's fine. I may finish it someday during like an anime.
It's aggressively mediocre.
It's fine. And aggressively mediocre is an excellent way to put it. Yeah, it exists, but I'm not interested in it at all. Like, I couldn't get myself to care. And like even Isekai Cheat Magicians, it sucks, but it holds my attention by being terrible. This is just aggressive.
It's a walking like 5 out of 10. There at no point in time does it ever just, oh, I'm gonna be a 4 out of 10 now, or I'm gonna be a 6 out of 10. It's just I'm gonna be just a straight up boring 5 out of 10. There is absolutely nothing interesting about me. My eyes will glaze over as I watch it, and yeah.
When this season,
it's like how's the animation? Fine. How's the music? That's okay. Like how's the story? Passable, like that's just what it is.
When this season started, we were all comparing it to Fairy Gone, and it seems to continue to compare to Fairy Gone, and that it just kind of became a 5 out of 10, uninteresting.
Well, at least I know what's going on in this show. In Fairy Gone, I was always like, who are these people again?
Bunch of
would
shit.
You say it's no, self-aware this is of being mediocre?
No.
In this case, they think they're making something.
It is absolutely
stop laughing like the joke.
Stop it! I can't help how I laugh. Okay, I'm sorry.
It is absolutely freaking me out. It is absolutely failing.
But no, like it believes it is doing a very serious show about, you know, an allegory about soldiers coming home and like how they can't fit back in a normal society. And in fact, all they're making is a Monster of the Week, dead average show that no one's going to remember in 2 seasons.
There was that one episode where they had to dynamite that really, really big guy before he hit the bridge. That had some heart in it, a little bit.
Yeah, that was the better of all the episodes, but I don't think they ever got back to that, you know.
I don't know.
I've been told that that's really the best part of the manga.
I don't know if you dropped it before or after a certain point, but at a certain point, they're like, who's our main character again? Is it, like, the captain or is it the girl? So now I don't even know.
The show doesn't know who his protagonist is.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, in all seriousness, though, I'm sorry, I my dumb quip in there. From what you're saying, though, does it like think it's like mic dropping after
some
big points?
No.
It's yelling from the back of the room.
It's just up in the stage.
It's talking and you can't really hear it. And whatever it's saying is it's not even really important and it's not exciting. And it's just, well, can you get off the stage now? That's what the show is like.
You're saying. So you're saying we should abandon this sacred beast. Thank you.
At least I had some passion in my joke. Come on now.
Hey, I said it in a way that it was self-aware, so it's okay.
Your self-awareness self-aware?
We should come back to this as many times as possible.
Speaking of beasts walk on stones, Gugsy, what
God, this is going to be it's going to be unpopular.
I'm sorry.
Great.
I'm sorry, can we discuss that transition? Can we discuss that segue, please?
Don't drop my transition. It's important.
It's a segue.
Editor's note. Go on.
God, I know it's going to be an unpopular opinion, and I know Dill already wrote about this, but Dr. Stone is just bad.
It's good.
Let's do it. Let's talk about it, Gugs. I'm in with
you. Let's talk about Dill's extremely popular article about Dr. Stone.
Dr. Stone is it's basically just like a high schooler's wet dream of what an anime should be. Like the main guy, because it's It's, you think high schoolers are more about science? I'm the smartest person in the world. Only I can bring back civilization. So everyone should listen to me talk because I'm right all the time. And yeah, and the other guy, he's a meathead and he kills people. So he's bad. So I'm going to use the power of science to bring back the world. Like, get out of here. Get over yourself. Ugh. Just. Yeah.
Oh, and also, my head looks
cool
like a hair leak.
Because I'm cool.
Oh yeah, he's a science nerd. He's got six pack
abs.
I've got
crazy
like, just...
white green hair that's just like, oh my god, look at me. I am the walking embodiment of cool. Don't you guys want to be like me? It's like, okay, I have a brain. I can think for myself. I don't. Yours. This is terrible.
Right. I like.
Yes. So
you're
absolutely
saying this show's
a
try hard.
Oh my god, it's trying so desperately hard to be cool and be. Oh my god. I'm doing science. I'm so smart. Look at me. Don't you guys want to be me? And it's no. No, thank you.
I agree with most of what you're saying, but I still like it despite the fact because I just really like when he starts talking
about
science.
Oh my god.
We're
going to do gunpowder now. We're going to shoot guns because guns are cool. Aren't I right, fellow kids? Yeah.
I'm pretty sure most of that is not said.
Okay. Hello, fellow teens.
You don't remember that part?
I remember the gunpowder part. I don't remember anything after the word gunpowder, though.
Yeah. Oh.
No, I. You know what? I know the way I write about it and how our spoiler alert, how my opinion on it on our collab coming out is going to seem, but I want it to be good. Like, I really want it to be good because I really enjoyed the first few episodes. Ugh. But it just, like, once I started kind of. Picking up on the scent of like the things that Gugsy was talking about, it was hard for me not to like see past.
Let me wake up the love interest and then just have her stand off saying absolutely nothing or just repeating everything on screen because that's what we do with girls in these sorts of manga.
No, Gugsy, because I wrote about it. Everybody says that's not all that she was meant to be.
That is exactly what she's going to be, and these people are idiots. I'm sorry,
but you're focusing on the wrong thing. It's like playing Skyrim and not doing
Can I read that comment? Can I please read that comment? I have it up, like right here. I was waiting.
Yeah, read it. Let's do it.
That character is useless anyway. Oof. Which is why that character is not the focus. The main character has stakes. This sidekick cutout did not. Really, regardless. By the way, he said the guy who was like constantly saying he's a genius has stakes, but I'm going to keep going past that, not like the prime rib. Anyways, really, regardless of whether or not he said the words, he still has zero personality, zero engaging story, and zero points of interest. Getting past your arbitrary goalpost, spelled it that way, of saying he loved her wouldn't in any way have made him any more interesting. It's a Requiem's favorite part of this comment. You're playing Skyrim and ignoring the main questline because you think some random NPC isn't showing up to his farm job often enough.
I mean, how stupid is this? He's directly even saying in his own goddamn comment that two of the main characters are useless and not interesting. Like, oh, wow. That's a really good positive.
My favorite thing is he's trying to say the one guy is a minor side character, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure for the first four or five episodes, he's basically a protagonist.
He's supposed to be the main character, but no. The real main character is Mr. Greenhair, who's super smart, and I'm going to just be like me. I'm going to save the world. Ugh.
Can we do slam poetry with like awful comments on someone's article, please?
It's good to know that you guys respect our tiny, tiny audience.
No, I'm actively
stop, don't say
to our audience, just for the record.
If you don't chew big rib.
All right. So, counterpoint, Dr. Stone does, like you guys said, it was like really annoying sometimes, real try hard. I think the humor doesn't really hit at all. I think a lot of the jokes are real dumb. But they're getting to a point where they're now entering like a different civilization. They introduce a ton of new characters, and they actually seem like they're going in a direction here. And from what I understand, the manga actually really finds itself towards, I don't know what the middle is. I don't even know if it's done, but it's going to be a little bit. So I'm still along for the ride. I'm still enjoying it, even though it is like kind of like a eye rolly half the time.
Yeah, well, you're a stronger man than me. You could not pay me to watch that shit.
$10 an episode.
You could, depending on how much we're talking.
$20.
I hit some, that's part of Hybrid was paid to do that part of his deal with Crunchyroll. I had some comment. I had some comments from people, and they were like, spoiler about this and that. And I won't say the details, but like a lot of my hesitations of continuing to watch it, they were like, yeah, I read the manga. Yeah, that doesn't get any better. It actually gets worse. And I'm like, oh no. Oh no.
Everyone has their own opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's whatever. I would like to come back and watch it. I'm not like, you know, to piggyback back to the Land of Illustrious thing I wrote about, it's not that I hated it. You know, I just didn't think that it was worthwhile, but by all means, it continues on because this is like the two core show, right?
I directly hate it, and I will hate on the people who like it. So,
Hybrid, putting out this fire, Hybrid. That it's a two core show, right?
I don't know.
Oh, dang it!
I'm pretty sure.
I'm trying to back you up, and you're like,
you don't have to back me up. You watch the show and tell me if you like it. That's what backs me up.
I said again,
I like it because the science stuff is fun, even though I think it's very try-hard shonen. It's just like I like it despite its faults. That's why we have it as an honorable mention on our collab. I had to write for it, so
spoilers.
Basically. And I had to write against it, so
surprising considering that I hate it so much. But
you're foaming at the mouth to write about it. They're like, Dill, you go in.
They probably wanted something coherent.
Yeah, probably for the best that the negative is not like absolutely grading it an F.
Yeah. All right.
Also, I think they were worried about if they gave Gugsy the against, we would go over the word count.
Luigi would trim that down. All right. Dill, did you drop anything this season, or are you sticking with your one or two shows you picked up?
I'm very selective about the shows I pick up, and I do a lot of research before I start them, so I generally don't drop shows. There was a continuing show. Can we talk about a continuing show, maybe, that I dropped?
Yeah, I mean, we can go into this. Like, what kind of criteria is it that makes you drop it in the first place?
Sure. So, like I said, I'm very careful about my research into an anime. I ask like four or five people, like just that I trust about anime. Like, hey, do you think, you know, you kind of know what I like? What do you think about this? Do you think I'll be into it? That goes into actually watching it, but I don't want to always drop something like right within the first few episodes. I know people have those two or three episode rules that are like, oh, if I don't like it after two or three episodes, I'll drop. I don't like that necessarily because some shows do build and some shows do have something around the corner. Like Saga of Tanya the Evil's perfect example. I thought it was the stupidest show right off the bat, but enough people told me, yeah, it gets really good. Keep watching. I'm like, okay, cool. So, you know, by episode six or seven, I was like, oh yeah, I'm all in on this. Mm-hmm. But as far as dropping, like, it's not always like I don't like it. And I know some people are just like, I get busy or I didn't watch it. Sometimes I'm just not into it. And like, I know, what's the show? It took me two, like I dropped it one time and I had to come back for it. It was the, Gugs, what was the moon one, or the high school or middle school romance one that came out like one of the winters a few years ago?
Oh,
everybody loved. Tsukigakure? I'm not good with Japanese titles. Yeah, I'm not good with Japanese titles. That's it. That's it. Exactly.
Oh, that show. I love that show.
And like everyone's like, oh, you have to watch it. It's amazing. And I watched like three episodes and I was like, I'm not really feeling it. You know, I came back and finished it because everybody told me that it was really good. And I was lukewarm about it. But for me to outright drop a show and like be like, oh, I absolutely hate this, it's really rare. But like, I know I'm just giving you a long answer. I'm sorry. But, you know, like the criteria to drop it, if everybody said it was really good and there's like some things that I just like ethically can't stand by that maybe some characters do or whatever, I'll drop it pretty quick. Mm-hmm. I'm rather prude. So,
yeah, I don't really have a set thing. But what I usually try to do is I try to watch first episodes of almost everything just to give everything a chance. And from there, like I can, all right. Well, if it's harem bullshit, I'm like, okay. Well, I don't need more of this, so I'll stop right here. But if there's other shows, I'll give a few more episodes on based on different things, like Abandoned Sacred Beasts. I was like, the premiere is pretty blah, but I'll give it another chance. And then the second episode was again just nothing. And I was like, okay, well, I'm done here. So yeah, I don't really have like a set thing, but I just kind of, I kind of play it by ear. And like Dill, if I drop something and people say it gets better, or, you know, or there's a lot of hype for something, I'll try. I can go back into it. So I don't really have a set rule.
Yeah, I don't have one either. I don't. I do the 3-episode thing, but it's not so much about dropping it. I usually hang out anyway. I just know that the thing that can that I'll drop a show because it bores me, and the other thing that'll make me drop a show is actually bad animation. I can't handle crappy animation, especially 3D CGI animation. Usually, every time most shows I've tried with that, I can't handle it. I hate how it looks. If a show is like the animation is crap, like Gunslinger Stratos back in the day, I just can't do it.
Yeah, I'm surprised to hear that because you watch like a lot of garbage, and you recommended Magical whatever. The Magical Senpai, is that the one where the girl's like got big boobs and she does magic?
Animation's fine in that.
Yeah, which show is this? Big boobs and magic?
An anime with a big boob girl? Where?
Hey, I said magic. There's also magic.
Yeah,
it's not an isekai. Magic with no isekai that drops all of them down to zero except for this one. But yeah, I watched it. And I'm like, wow, this is real bad. My criteria is basically the same as yours, Rick, in that I will usually give it 3 episodes, but if it bores me to tears, I'll drop it. And I usually don't drop things because I, like Dill also, I will kind of look into what's good. I'll basically go to Anime News Network, see like, okay, what has an average of like 4 out of 5? And I'll pretty much watch everything unless it's something I just really have no interest in. The only times I can think of where I dropped it in episode 1 was Rail Wars. I think it's the only show. Usually I give it like 3. I don't know why. What this is a show Rail that Wars? Sucked.
I'm not sure if I ever dropped one in one episode.
I think I watched Chew Bra. You guys remember that? Like 5 years ago or something.
Oh, you know what I dropped in one episode? Scum's Wish.
Yeah.
Thanks, Gugs.
Bring it back.
You're welcome.
Oh, yeah. It's like, yeah, let the child play with a knife by the outlet. That one.
It's Build's character.
But as far as this season goes, I haven't dropped anything, but I was, man, watching Grandbelm. I'm just like, it looked like it was going somewhere. It looked like the character relationships were really getting interesting. And then it's just like this Anna character is just constantly yelling Ernesta all the time. And it's like, okay, well, clearly she's had this huge trauma that has caused her to act like this psychopath. And then we find out why she acts the way she does. I'm like, that is totally not justified, and I don't like your character whatsoever. I was close to dropping it, but I'm probably just going to stick with it now that we're past, like, episode 8. I'm just going to see it through to the end, but I don't know. It's really kind of dropped off for me.
Yeah, I've been hearing there's a lot of buzz about Grandbelm. And I've watched a few of it. I'm behind on it. I do want to keep watching it, but it hasn't grabbed me at all from the very beginning.
Just I can't really bring myself to like the characters. Their motivations or just whatever. And I feel like the main character has kind of taken a back seat after the first few episodes, where it's like, I mean, am I just caring about this competition now? Like, why am I paying attention? I like to know what the people that really love it, what they see in it, but I don't know.
Who's into it?
Some people in the Discord, but I forget their names. I think.
I never actually got to say what I dropped, by the way.
Yeah, well, you had your chance.
Okay.
Oh, go ahead.
So, besides obviously Dr. Stone for now.
Fuck you.
I gave Yuno another try. I don't even know if that's still going. Or maybe it already ended.
No, it's still going, I'm pretty sure.
Still going,
like,
yep.
Like, I got knocked out after, like, 3 episodes, and I got back into my corner, I came back out, and I got knocked out again after 2 episodes. I don't know, I'll just be upfront about it. Everybody who talks about the dub and how much they like it, I don't know what they're smoking. It's catastrophically bad. And it, like, this might be a case, and I even told our resident Yuno guy, Rock, this, because I gave it another chance because of Rock, because I love Rock, but like maybe the dub is the reason I don't like it so much, and this is like a rare take for me. I know, like, the dub guy, I'll admit when a dub's bad, but like it, like, I just hate the main character, and I think it's entirely because of the way that the guy who plays him portrays him, and if that's deliberate, then great, that's good voice acting, but I'm just not into it.
Yeah.
Is anyone else watching that?
Nope. I mean, it's just, Isn't it like a harem visual novel thing?
It's like the original, isn't it?
Yeah, I was like, okay.
Yeah, it's actually an old school property.
Yeah.
A lot of the tropes of visual novels started, you know, there, as I'm told.
See, that's one of the things that, like, you tell me that, and I'm like, all right, well, yeah, I'm going to pass. No, thank you.
It involves time travel, so I was out from jumps.
It's interesting you say that, because, you know, we're talking about why we drop things, and, like, sometimes I can give something a pass if it's aged. Like, you know, like, I say that in, like, regard where it's, like, you know, like a show, and this transcends just anime. You know, like if something was the trendsetter for like a different type of storytelling style or direction or whatever, and you don't watch it right away, and you watch like the four or five things inspired by it, you go back to the original and you're like, I've seen this four or five times. You know what I mean? Like yeah. Sometimes I can give shows a pass if it was the original to do something. So like, you know, like that's kind of why I went back to Yuno, because everyone's like, well, yeah, it feels stale because it was the original.
But that reminds me, because we talked about this earlier in this podcast. Like the perfect counterexample to this is Bunny Girl. Like I went into Bunny Girl like everyone else. Like, okay, this show is going to be really stupid, but I'm going to give it one episode, and then once it's done, I'm going to drop it because it's going to be really really terrible with this stupid synopsis. And then you watch it, and it's like, oh wow, this actually is way better than I thought it was. I'm going to keep going. And then, so it goes both ways.
Yeah, and it's interesting you say it too, because I think pacing is a really important.
Yep.
Like, I didn't mention that with dropping a show. Like, Bunny Girl had perfect pacing. The end of the first episode ended, you're like, all right, well, where's the second episode? I want to watch. You know what I mean? Like, it's very big.
Yeah.
Like, not, I know that's another buzzword. Sorry. I'm saying them a lot today. But like, if something's not well paced, and again, sorry, hybrid, like Dr. Stone, like pacing is all over the place. It's not good in that regard from a pacing standpoint. It's really hard to just be like, all right, well, man, watch Dr. Stone.
Man, that's crazy, because I think the pacing just works perfectly fine. But
really?
I guess it just depends on your view of things, yeah.
Like different strokes for different folks. All right.
Yeah. I agree with people when they complain about pacing, but I just feel like that's one of the reasons why whenever Friday, I think it's out. Friday, it's the first show I watch when I'm watching anime on Friday. It just has that really easy to watch feel. You don't have to worry about it. Whereas, say, I don't know, Sacred Beast, the pacing is like kind of shitty. It's like, I don't really know how to follow this.
I think less of you as a person, hybrid.
Oh, well,
okay, so I'm not going to go that. I'm joking.
Relax.
Really, hey, like what you like. That's always been my philosophy.
I don't even love it. I'm just the only person that kind of likes it, so I have to defend it.
Unless you like sibling incest, and then I hate you.
Oh, I got it.
Fridays, by the way, are ridiculous this year.
What was that?
Nice save, Rex.
Ridiculous. I'm just saying, like, Fridays are ridiculous. They're super loaded.
There's six shows I watch on Friday, and like nothing on Wednesday, and like.
Yeah, there's a big gap in the middle of the week, and then Friday there's like eight shows. I'm like, all
right. You had so much enjoyment coming from JoJo. Now that it's gone, we have to overload you with stuff on Fridays.
Does it reach the heights of, I guess it was a few years ago, Fridays was, it was Luluco, it was JoJo's, it was Big Order and Moyoiga. And there's a fifth show that I'm forgetting, but it was all the same day, and it was the greatest day of anime in history, I think.
Wow, two good shows on Friday. That's amazing.
Yeah, I counted two there. I don't know what else.
There's at least two masterpieces in that list.
Yeah,
we can all agree on the same one as well.
I'm sorry to say this, but I'm like, I don't think I've ever watched a show as it came out, like each day, like each week, like the day it came out. I know, like, when you, and it's the reason I never subscribed to Crunchyroll for a while.
That's actually a really interesting topic. We're going to have to save it for next time. I think we're going to put that as our topic of the week, but we've been going on a little long. Is there anything else, just quickly to wrap up our topic on drop shows, that you guys want to talk about?
Is there any way we can shoehorn Big Order again?
Yeah, I got it. I got it for you. No, I got it perfect. Hold on. Here's my part of the thing that I want to say. I really wish somebody would pull on my hair ribbon.
Wow.
So that's the podcast. Thanks, Gugsy.
Yep.
Requiem.
Evangelion sucks.
Bill.
Seriously, ladies, pull on my hair ribbon.
Okay, tweet at _Anate if you want to yell at these idiots. And that's it. So, see you next time. Bye-bye.